It's the 10th of March, and we just had a major correction yesterday. Let's take a look at the market as an overhaul. And so people are shell-shocked. We're about even. But we are, for the year, down about 12%. Ugh, how's it feel? $100,000 is now $88,000. What are you ready to do? You ready to jump out the window? Yeah? Well, I spoke with a bunch of clients over the weekend. Did my best to... What's going on with AT&T?
No, because that's coronavirus.
Oh, okay. But here's a cute little thing. I don't know if I showed it to you. This is what buying low feels like. Can you see it? Let's get the lights. Everybody loves the old adage. Everyone knows the old adage, buy low, sell high, but very few follow it. Why? Because for most investors, nothing feels worse than a market decline. Yes, he's eating all the good stuff, and the lima beans and the broccoli are left, and that's what buying low feels like. But I did it over the weekend. On Friday, I put some money in, and on yesterday, I put some money in. So, because I'm not going to touch it for 5-10 years, but I'm getting old. Didn't put it in all the stocks. Okay, so also, thoughts on the financial markets, current crisis. Be fearful when others are greedy. Be greedy when others are fearful. This is made famous by Warren Buffett. But he's just restating what his teacher, Benjamin Graham, said. And we'll come back to these later. Buy when most people, including experts, are overly pessimistic, and sell when they are actively optimistic. So everyone's pessimistic right now. Now's the time to buy. But it could go down lower, certainly. Bear markets are born of pessimism, grow on skepticism, mature on optimism, and die on euphoria. The time of maximum pessimism is the best time to buy. He also said it like this. To buy when others are despondently selling and sell when others are avidly buying requires the greatest fortitude and pays the greatest reward. This is Sir John Templeton. And we'll come back to these guys later on. And I like this one. When in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream, and shout. That's always a good piece of advice. Okay, anybody got a good joke? The markets?
Oil.
Oil, oh yeah. Right, what happens when oil falls like it did? It usually is a signal for a recession. But is it in this case? Well, no, you won't know for a few months. But it seems as though what's really happening is Russia and OPEC are just shooting. Well, yeah, we'll show you. Because Saudi Arabia has a really big spigot, and Iran has got a big spigot too. But who's the biggest producer of oil in the world? Do you know? Who is the largest producer of oil in the world? Hint? Yeah, we are. The United States is the largest producer of oil in the world. People don't realize that. But so that's us.
Alaska's depressed now.
Alaska, actually not that much, not a whole lot. I mean, a goodly amount comes from Alaska, but not as much as comes from the shale processing now. Because they got all the easy stuff. You know, they got all the easy stuff. They're all pulling out the easy stuff. But now what they do is it's called, what a bad name, fracking. I mean, couldn't you come up with a better name? But they shoot this water with lots of gunk in it, and it pushes up the oil out of the shale, and it's not that profitable when compared to putting a straw in the ground and sucking it up. But it works, and we produce it. Okay, so let's get started. Okay, who's got a good bro joke? Who's got a good joke? Okay, so I told you about we're almost ready for the end of the bar joke. I told you about the alligator and the bear. Did I tell you about the anteater?
No,
see, I didn't tell you about the anteater. So this anteater walks into a bar. Have you heard this one before? No, okay. And he goes up to the bartender and the bartender says, "What do you have?" And the anteater says, "I don't know." And the bartender says, "How about a beer?" And the anteater says, "No." The bartender says, "Do you like a shot of whiskey?" And the anteater says, "No." The bartender says, "Would you like wine?" And it's new. And the bartender says, why the long nose? He sees he's an anteater. He's got a long nose. And he said, no. You don't believe me that they get bad, but they do get really bad. So we're going to continue with stocks, right? Okay. And we had finished up discussing the transactions and their cost. And we saw that, yes, transactions have come down in cost, but a lot of it is being hidden from us and they make it look like it's free. And if you have the inclination, there's a wonderful book, but it's out now, it's 10 years old, so who knows what technology they have now. I haven't been following it, called Flash Boys. And what we have now are companies that do high-frequency trading. They transact large number of orders at very fast speeds, millions of transactions a day. And there is little doubt that these companies have reduced transaction costs. But they've also been accused of using their ability to transact at microsecond levels to front-run investors. And what does that mean? A big order comes in, they see it before the market does, so they jump in front of this person, buy, and then turn around and sell it to the other to that person at a higher price. It's called front-running. And it was something that was done at a very small level when we had the specialists yelling and screaming at one another every once in a while. And when they were caught, they were barred from the industry. But now we got computers doing it at millions of times per day. And so they're stealing tiny amounts of money. And the large players were pissed at this. We're talking mutual fund companies, pension fund companies. So one firm, and this is, he's the protagonist, the hero of the story, Flash Boys, started a firm to fight back. What they did is they created a speed bump, technology-wise, so that the high-frequency firms cannot jump in front and front-run your transaction. They are backed by some of the largest players in the market, like the largest mutual fund companies, I think T. Rowe Price, Fidelity, American Capital, and some huge pension funds, Texas Pension Fund. I haven't followed them lately, but if you're interested, just type in high-frequency trading, type in IEX into any search engine, and you can read about it. There's some in the website. There's also some links to some videos where the guy, I forget his name, Brad, somebody who started IEX, he does a pretty good description of what happened and why he started IEX. So if you're interested, they're stealing tiny bits. The best estimates are between $5 and $15 billion a year they're stealing from us investors. Now, it sounds like a lot of money, so let's split the difference. Let's say $10 billion. That's the same amount that people bet on the March Madness NCAA basketball tournament. So in the grand scheme of things, it's not a whole lot of money in a $20 trillion economy. But it's still not right. Why hasn't the SEC stopped them? I think because they're afraid they'll throw out the baby with the bathwater. These firms have created transaction costs that are minuscule. You know, you guys are younger folks are, oh, I love Robinhood. And so you're paying, and it's a whole lot less than you used to pay Merrill Stench and Morgan Stanley. Stupid. But so they kind of leave them alone because they don't really know what's going on. That's the problem. Nobody knows. When you read this book, he's a very good writer. He makes it very clear that nobody really knows what's going on because these companies aren't going to tell you. They're fighting each other at the microsecond level. Okay, enough of that. And we talked about round lots, where we had 100 shares or multiples of 100 shares. So remember this, it's technology has basically made it obsolete, but we want you to remember it because you're the investment guru. An odd lot is anything less than 100 shares, and then a mixed lot was anything above 100 shares, but not easily divisible by 100. And you used to have to pay anywhere between 12.5 to 25 cents more or get less when you sold your stock for that odd lot differential. But now it's a penny, it's less than 5 cents. So it's not a big deal. But do remember this, okay? Nod your head yes. This is going to be on the test. But more importantly, you're the investment guru, so you're going to be able to wax eloquently when some people says, well, what is an odd lot? What is a round lot? Technology has made it obsolete. So now we're going to turn our, do you have your packets? Get your packets out. We're going to turn our attention to where do we get information. And some of you already have your own individual applications. Anybody use Ameritrash's? I'm sorry, Ameritrade's Thinkorswim. Anybody use that? What?
I don't have a packet.
You don't have a packet? Okay. Chapter 5 packet. One of my former students says he loves it. I use Yahoo. Okay, pass this. Yahoo used to be the best, but free one. But now it's pretty bad. But come on now. Come on, guys. I'm sure I gave these out pretty much. Pass these over there. You got yours, right, from last time? Packet for chapter 5? You asked me for it. No? Okay, pass it over there.
I have one over here.
Okay, pass that one over there. Okay, so different sources will contain some or all or more of these statistics. We're going to go through these statistics. Some of them are self-evident. Some of them we'll take a look at in a little bit. Remember, though, the quoted prices, as we said, are not the only price that you see, folks. The price you see is not the only price that's out there. There are dozens of prices between various market makers and dealers and the like. And you're looking at it 15, 20 minutes in the past, unless you pay extra. So here is people always say, everybody get one? Everybody get one? Here is the Wall Street Journal. And people say, don't you use the Wall Street Journal in your class? I said, no, I don't use the Wall Street Journal. Do we have enough? Pass it. I'm out of them. I gave them out. I made more copies than I needed, I'm sure. Pass one that way. This is the Chapter 5 packet. Okay, if you don't have one, buddy up with somebody. Okay. I don't know. If you like the Wall Street Journal, it was taken over by Fox News, so I'm not a big fan of them. So now, what you're going to do, because you're young and you love the Internet, right? You love the Internet? No? It's all right. Okay. I'm waiting for that Internet fad to blow over. Someday.
Where are we going to go to?
I don't care, but I'm tired of it. I mean, one of these days we're going to wake up and the whole thing's going to be down. Everybody's going to go, what do we do now? Okay. So as I said, you know, Yahoo used to be the best, but we'll use Yahoo. Bloomberg, when I talk to people in the industry, professionals, that's what they use. But they pay for the Bloomberg terminal. I don't even know how much it costs. MarketWatch is it's very different from the Wall Street Journal website. It's free. It's the free version of the Wall Street Journal, and it's very different. The Wall Street Journal website, first of all, you have to pay for it, and it looks like Fox News. So Morningstar, you've already played with them, right? Be careful. Every 10 minutes, every 5 minutes, they're going to try to get you to sign up for the premium service. You say no, thank you. And then Google's finance website is actually not very good. And they said it, even when they started, when they became public, they said, you know, the one thing we're not going to do is finance. And I think, why not? Because whatever they do, they usually do a pretty darn good job. So let's now take a look. So take a look now. Pull out the packet and go to the page 7 where we have the assignment. Because your assignment is due at the end of this week, but you can turn it in next week. You know, once you start this, you're going to see that it's not really that difficult. It's really not that difficult. It's actually kind of fun because you're just plugging in numbers. And what I hope you're going to do is get lost. And I don't mean get lost. I mean in the fun sort of way. Because what they're going to do, all of these websites, they're going to throw headlines at you. Now, some of them are going to be ads, and they will hope you click on the ads because that's how they make their money. But others are articles about the company or companies that you're interested in. So let's take a look at Yahoo, which is the one we've been using, by the way, inching back up. Okay, so let's go to Yahoo Finance. This is the web. This is the homepage for Yahoo Finance. And do we want to turn the lights off? It's a little easier to see. Probably double one. Not bad. So Anybody use Yahoo for their mail or anything? They go to Yahoo a lot anymore? Not too much anymore. People are not. A couple people can. What they did is I figure what they call this. They call it Neo or something. They have all the headlines and the articles just going on and on and on and on. And some of them are ads. You see the ads. If you click on this one, they actually make money. You click on this one, no, it's a link to Investor's Business Daily. And they want you to go up here and type the name of the company, because then what it'll do is it'll use their search engine, and of course that's how Google makes as much money, and Yahoo used to make money, but they don't offer search engine. Here is where we're interested in. So if we're interested in a company, let's say Johnson & Johnson. You ever hear of them? No? Band-Aids, Q-tips, baby powder, yeah. We just start typing the name, Johnson, if we can spell, Johnson, and it says, do you want Johnson & Johnson? And then eventually, the companies you're interested in, you're going to remember the ticker symbol. The ticker symbol for Johnson & Johnson is JNJ. Johnson Controls is a different company, Johnson Outdoor, Johnson Intuitional. So it's trying to think, you probably want this guy because that's the most popular Johnson & Johnson. So if we just type J&J, that would work. But if we click on J&J, it gives us their summary page, and then there's a few other pages, and they took away a lot of the good stuff that just drives me up a wall. But here's what we're going to ask you to do. We're going to ask you to find where it is traded on. And that's right there. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Hiding in New York Stock Exchange. Now, this is saying that it's the real-time price, but I don't believe that. This is what happened 15 minutes ago. And because the market's open, you're seeing the prices change because the market's open. What it opened at, now here's the bid and the ask price. You have to pay, if you get the best price, 15 minutes ago, $135.02. If you go to sell it, you're only going to get $134.99. So the spread is pretty tiny on these big companies now. What's that, 3 cents, 4 cents? And then times 1,200 means that there's 1,200 times 100, or 1,200,000. I'm sorry, 1,200 times 100, so yeah, 1,200,000 shares that are being offered at that price, and somebody will pay to, well, let you, I'm sorry, there's 1,200,000 shares that somebody will pay for that, and then they'll buy it back from you. A million shares will buy it back from you. Questions, thoughts? Okay, what else? PE ratio, what is that? We'll learn about that later on. Earnings per share. Dividends, there's the dividend. They should have a dollar sign there, but they don't. And then there's the yield. So I ask you for the dividend, right? I ask you for the dividends and the dividend yield. And then what are a couple of other things I ask you for? Now, some people have a hard time with the sector of the economy. The sector of the economy is going to be, unless you can figure it out. I mean, what is sector? It's probably going to say consumer medical devices or something like that. If you click on profile, it'll say sector healthcare, and then they put them in drug manufacturers. So you could choose either one, healthcare or drug manufacturers general. And so you're going to just, okay, fill it in. And that's not hard. But then what I hope you do is you kind of go, well, you know, I'm kind of interested in this company. What's the company outlook? Well, you got to pay for more money for that. What is the conversations are? These are the people just yelling and screaming and yelling at one another. It's like a historical data, financials. We'll get to chapter 17. Analysis. What do the estimates say? Is it good or not? So just start nosing around, and then when you get to the summary page, maybe you're interested in. Here is another ad. You know, but these nine companies are working on the virus, and probably Johnson & Johnson is one of them. Is Johnson & Johnson a buy as it wages a battle against the new coronavirus? So it sounds zen-like. I hope it sounds zen-like. Just start playing. And some of these companies are going to interest you, and others are like, I'm not interested in that. And so I hope you enjoy the assignment. I hope you actually kind of get into it. And if not, oh well. And then the last one is a little tricky. We're not there yet, but we're going to learn about different stock types. We're going to learn about different stock types, and you're not going to look that up. You're going to choose from the list of stock types below. Wait till we get to the stock types. Is that cool? And then for the other assignment is where you're going to zoom in on one or two, three companies. I want you to do three, right? Three. And do look at their quarterly earnings reports. Now, some of them are video, some of them are audio-visual, and some of them are audio, and some of them are just PDF files. But if you go to a company, usually you can find their website through here, or just you can type Johnson & Johnson, there it is. And there'll be a link that says Investor Relations, or just Investors. Click on that, and you'll see our quarterly report, our last quarterly report, our annual report. And this is where you're going to just start peeling away the layers of the company, it's like an onion, and learning more and more about them. And again, I hope you enjoy it. And if you do enjoy it, that's a great sign that you could become your own financial advisor. And if you absolutely hate this is something I'd rather eat barbed wire, that's a great sign that mutual funds are good for you. Does that make sense? So neither is good or bad. Neither is, they're both good signs because you're learning about yourself as you're learning about the companies. And that's the coolest thing about investing. There are thousands of companies, folks. Are you ever going to learn everything about all the companies that you could possibly invest in? Hell no. That's why mutual funds have dozens of analysts and portfolio managers they concentrate on just one sector of the economy, automotive, telemedia, wireless, you know, it's amazing. And that's the cool thing about it. To me, it's open-ended. Okay, excuse me. Now, careful, a couple of them, like MarketWatch and Bloomberg, they don't give you the yearly dividends. They give you the quarterly dividends. So you're going to go to Yahoo, and you're going to see $4 in dividends. And you're going to go to MarketWatch, and they're going to give you $1 in dividends. You go, wait a minute. Well, the one is quarterly because they pay dividends quarterly, companies in the United States. And most all the companies have something to do with the United Kingdom at one point. Canada, United States, Hong Kong, Australia, South Africa, and the UK itself. And so we pay all these countries and their cultures, we pay dividends quarterly. And so some of these places will show you quarterly dividends. Some of them, like Yahoo, are going to show you yearly dividends. Any others you want to take a look at? Off the hand? You're going to play? You can use your phone. I like using a computer, I guess, with my bigger eyes. Okay, so now finally, oh my goodness, we get to indexes. We've been using market indices. You got your chapter 4, chapter 5? Chapter 5. How can we say that stocks have returned approximately 10% over the past 70 years? Well, the industry uses market averages and indices. These are benchmarks used to measure the general behavior of securities prices by reflecting either the average price behavior, market average, or relational price behavior of representative groups of securities at any given time. What? It's a list of stocks or bonds or whatever they're interested in investing in. You cannot help but hear about these every day in the news. The Dow went down, the Nasdaq went up, the Dow is crashing, and the S&P. The differences between a market average and a market index are subtle, and most people don't even know that there's a difference. The market average, where should I put this? I'll put this over here. The market average just looks at the price. And most of these are gone. Most, except for the Dow. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is still the most popular. I don't know why. It's actually not very good. But it was the first one started in 1896 by Charles Dow, who's one of the guys who started the Wall Street Journal. And then the market indexes are everything else. The S&P 500, the NASDAQ, all the other ones are indexes, and they use relational prices and market capitalization. So in other words, these guys, the averages just look at the price. Average just looks at the price. Whereas the index looks at how big the companies are. And that was one of the, and some of you did it, the bonus assignment in Chapter 4 was asked you to go in there and take a look at the S&P 500 and find the top 10. It's easy to do. Find the top 10 companies in the S&P 500 and see how much of those top 10 companies make up the index. And anybody remember what it was?
Dow Jones?
No, the S&P 500. Nobody remembers? Some of you did it. Okay, well, whatever. I'll let you do it, okay? You get 2 points. Go ahead. It's not hard to do. It'll take you all of 5 minutes to find out what the...
2 points, what does it go for? Is it like 2 points to the grade?
Yeah, 2 points to the grade. Just
okay.
Better than a poke in the eye.
Okay.
Doesn't hurt you if you don't do it, but it shouldn't take you very long to do it. It's very straightforward. Okay, so the larger the market share of the company, the more influence the security will have in the index. And this was thought of, and there's the S, and then of course the poster child is the S&P 500. This was thought to be a much better measure because big companies have a bigger say in what the market's doing as opposed to smaller companies. But then what happened is things got out of hand, and they're out of hand now, and we'll see how long they last. But the granddaddy of them all, which should have been retired a long time ago, is the Dow. It's actually called the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Have you heard of this? Yeah, you have. It's 30 stocks. That's all it is, 30 stocks. And before the economy really started to get more and more and more complex in the 80s, 90s, and in the 2000s, it was considered just fabulous because these companies were blue chip companies that were going to be around for decades, and nothing was ever going to happen to them. And then technology sort of shot some of them in the back, like Kodak. We've talked about Kodak. And then General Motors went belly up, and then AIG went belly up. Yeah, so AT&T fell apart. So it has much more non-industrial stocks than industrial stocks. Now, Dow Jones Industrial Average, that's the company that publishes the Wall Street Journal. In 2007, Rupert Murdoch, Fox News, bought Dow Jones. He paid $5 billion for it. It was generally considered it was worth about $3 billion. And it was a family-held business, privately family-held. And many of the family did not want to sell it to Fox News. They said, no, we won't sell. And the other said, you idiot, they're offering us almost 100% more than it's worth. Sell. And they said, okay. So now he owns it. But it looks like they have sold the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the other averages that they have to Standard & Poor's. It looks like Standard & Poor's is actually the company that's managing these things now. If you can figure it out, please do. So look it up, see if you can figure it out. That's what I glean from them. Of course, they don't want to talk to me. But here they are, dear students, here they are. Have you heard any of these companies? Now, if you've done this, please don't shout it out, but don't peek. You've heard of them? Any companies you haven't heard of? I'm sorry? Merck. What does Merck sell?
Drugs.
You think people make a lot of money off illegal drugs? You don't know what you're talking about. The illegal drugs are where the money really is. Who else? Pfizer? Pfizer's another. Don't peek. Okay, anybody else you don't know? Come on, talk to me. You can't know. I know you don't know all these companies.
United Healthcare, but that seems in the name.
You're right. United Healthcare is the largest, I think they're the largest, or one of the largest healthcare insurance companies. They're an insurance company. And 1 year, everybody get one? Their CEO made $1.2 billion. And then, of course, you get people like Warren, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders saying, this is ridiculous, we need to get rid of these for-profit insurance companies. But it turns out a lot of Americans like their insurance companies, even though we pay a whole lot more than other countries. Okay, who else?
Is he Dow Chemicals, but that sounds...
Dow Chemicals, it's a chemical company. Yeah, they make chemicals. Yeah. So most of these companies are not. Who's Caterpillar?
Construction.
Yeah, right, the big tractors. Boeing, Boeing, Boeing.
Okay. Going down.
Yeah, the stock is hit hard. Cisco is the internet provider. How about 3M? What do they make? 3M.
They make a lot of stuff.
They make the earplugs.
They make.
Right?
They make
thousands of products. Yes. Yeah. Minnesota Mining and Materials. Scotch tape, post-it notes. You ever hear of those?
Mm-hmm.
Reflective tape. They make stuff. Sandpaper, stuff that wraps around buildings and stuff. Most of it's flat.
Don't they make the ones, the earplugs that actually gain, like, everyone's doing for, like, the military?
You know, I probably.
Because there's, like, a big lawsuit.
I can imagine they do.
They called, like,
yeah, well, I know they make thousands of products. So I don't know if they, I've never, I don't know about the earplugs, but they probably do. Okay. And then. Walgreens Boots. Now, there's an interesting one. You've heard of Walgreens, right?
Yeah.
Walgreens did what's called an inversion. I think it's called an inversion. Well, what they did is they bought a Canadian company, a small Canadian company, moved their headquarters outside the United States, and now they're really not a United States company, even though they really are a United States company for tax purposes. And there was a lot of weeping and gnashing
and
beating.
Don't they pay more taxes in Canada?
You know, I don't know. I'm not a CPA, and I don't know why they did it. But from what I read, you read it, it's called an inversion. And other companies have done it where they basically buy another little company somehow outside the United States, in Ireland or someplace, and then they move their domesticity outside the United States. But they're really, it's still a United States company. Travelers Insurance, Procter & Gamble. No. Tide, Crest, Pampers, Gillette, Consumer Staples. Okay, so I'm going to give you $10,000. 85 years ago. What a deal. Is that a deal or what?
Yeah.
And so what you're going to do is you're going to buy one of these companies. Just one stock. I know. Diversification is good, but we're going to do one stock today. Now, was Apple around 85 years ago?
No.
Was Walmart around 85 years ago? No. So what happened? As time goes on and companies, you know, rise and fall, Dow Jones and now Standard & Poor's pull a company out and put a different company in. So if you want Walmart, next to Walmart, what do you see? What is it?
Woolworths.
Who? What is Woolworths? Well, Woolworths was a Walmart of the time. In fact, if you've been to Mexico, down in Puerto Vallarta and in some other cities, it's all one in Morelia. Where else? I saw them in a few different cities in Mexico. They still have them. They look like a small Target. They look like a small Target. But they're still around here. They've turned into Foot Locker. That's what's left of Woolworths here in the United States. Do you understand? So you be careful. You're going to buy that company. You're going to buy the company before that. And then when that company was yanked out and put the new company in, that's when they switched shares. So what company do you want? We want one for Nike. Wait a minute, slow down. One at a time, please. Okay, let's try to get this guy out. Let's put him over here. So somebody wanted Nike. So let's put Nike there. And you can double vote. If somebody I want Nike too, we can put two. So who wanted to? I can't hear you. Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble.
Yeah, I think I like that one.
Pfizer, Boeing. Okay, Apple. Who wants Apple?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just like
them. Okay. Remember, you bought the company before them, too, or companies. Over here in the cheap seats.
Like Verizon.
Who wants Disney?
How about...
Didn't you already vote? Okay. You can't vote twice.
How about IBM?
Do you want IBM?
No, no.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, IBM.
You would have
wanted it, not anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you... Yeah, it's not real money. Don't worry about it. Two for Disney. Oh, we already had... Did we have Disney already? Okay, Disney. I'm sorry. Apple? We already have Apple?
And
oh, yeah, for two for Apple. Caterpillar. Are you voting three times, four times? Eric, is that you? Once, please, just once. Kevin, what do you want? It's not real money. Don't worry about it. Who wants Mickey D?
What's Mickey D?
Michael, McDonald's. Microsoft. Okay, yes.
UTC,
United Technologies. Where do I put that? United Technologies. What do they make?
Aerospace.
Right, they make Pratt & Whitney jet engines. Didn't they sell Sikorsky, the helicopter company?
I think so.
They also make Otis elevators. Otis.
ExxonMobil.
ExxonMobil. ExxonMobil.
They
pay great dividends.
That's right.
Okay, who else? Now, who hasn't voted yet? Melissa, what do you want? It's not real money. Don't worry about it. What? Chase. 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 J.P. Morgan. The House of Morgan. Have you voted yet? Have you voted? Nick?
IBM.
IBM, so two for IBM. Who hasn't voted? Come on, quick vote. Two for Microsoft.
Apple.
Three for Apple.
Nike.
Two for Nike.
Apple.
Four for Apple.
Oh, wow.
Nancy? American Excuse. Or Excess. Actually, I think they belong up here more. Okay, anybody? We got you, George? Chris? Okay, everybody, who hasn't voted yet? Yes? Chase, two for Chase. Okay, you guys are real excited today, I can see. You worried about the coronavirus?
No.
Yes? It's daylight savings time. I know you're still in I lost an hour. That's what it is. Okay, how'd you do? Pull it open. How'd you do? Who did the best?
Procter & Gamble.
The company that sells soap and diapers and toothpaste and shaving cream.
IBM.
Yeah, IBM isn't at the bottom. Who's at the bottom?
Cisco.
Wait a minute.
Oh, and Verizon.
Well, yeah, and Verizon. What? Is it because Cisco is such a bad company? Verizon? Who did they replace? Who did Cisco replace?
General Motors.
The Dow Jones Industrial folks, the people who make this average, waited until GM was in bankruptcy before they pulled it out of the Dow and put in Cisco. So Cisco gets a bad name, but it's not Cisco's fault. Who did Verizon replace?
AT&T.
The old AT&T, not the new AT&T. There was an AT&T before AT&T. That was broken up in 1984 into the AT&T and the nine Baby Bells. And then the nine Baby Bells started getting together, and Verizon was one of them. It was Bell Atlantic. And the other one was SBC Communications, which was based in Texas, I think. And they started buying one another. And the old AT&T then divulged. Bell Labs and Western Electric. They're electrical, the people who made the telephone equipment. And then the AT&T was left with nothing but long distance, and long distance rates plummeted, and the old AT&T went down the porcelain oasis. And SBC Communications bought them paid $16 billion just for the name. That's all they wanted. Just so they could call themselves AT&T.
Apple wasn't that good either.
Well, who did Apple take? Who did Apple pull out?
They took AT&T, the new AT&T.
Well,
in Goodyear.
Yeah, you got to go back. You got to go back a few times.
What's
Goodyear?
Tires.
Make tires. Yeah.
They're like really nice tires.
Yeah, that's it. Akron, Ohio. Tires. Okay, so can stocks make us wealthy?
Yes, sir.
Can stocks make us sad?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah.
A lot of people are sad yesterday, today too, and so when people say the Dow is the same it was 10 years ago, no, it's not, because it's always being changed. They're always taking companies out and putting companies in, so it's never the same. But that's what people use. The Dow is the most popular, even though it's only 30 companies, and it's not particularly very good measure. And they have a really hard time finding the companies that are the stalwarts that are never going to disappear, because GM, who thought GM would go into bankruptcy? I did. I thought in 2005 and 6, and I said, you know what? GM, next recession, they're probably going to go bankrupt. And I remember the CEO saying, we don't want to hear none of this talk about us going bankrupt. Well, they couldn't make a dime off of their cars. They were not making any money off of their cars. The only money they were making off was with the big SUVs, the Bummers and the Dummers and the Uh-ohs, the Chevy Uh-ohs. What are they called?
The Hummers.
Yeah, the Hummers. And the Tahoe, right.
They don't make the Hummers
anymore,
right?
Oh, they're bringing it back. They're bringing the Hummer back. Yeah. It's going to be electric. And so the Dow, yeah, believe it or not, the Dow also has a couple others that every once in a while you hear about. The transportation average, we're going to put the ones that you need to know up here. These are the ones that you're going to have to memorize, because there are dozens and dozens of these things. But every once in a while you hear about the transport average, and some people will talk about the transport average because before the stuff is turned into products and goods, meaning raw materials, have to make it to the factories, and then the goods that are produced have to get shipped to be sold. The transports tend to lead before the economy comes up. So they watch the transports. And they tend to, if they lag, that's a sign that, hey, things might be getting worse. And the utilities are not that exciting. If you add the three together, the industrial average, the transport, the utilities, you get the composite average. You don't hear too much about that. Now, this one you do hear about. Do you remember? From your mutual funds? The Dow Jones U.S. Total Stock Market Index. It started out as the Wilshire 5000, which 5,000 stocks. Actually, it's not 5,000. It was up more. Now I think it's a little bit less. But they're about $5,000. So you got big companies, small companies, and medium-sized companies. And then Dow Jones bought Wilshire, and they made it Dow Jones Wilshire 5000, and they kicked the Wilshire to the corner. And now it's called Dow Jones U.S. Total Stock Market Index. So you'll see mutual funds, index funds, that are representative of the U.S. Total Stock Market Index. And then to make things really bizarre, I still call it the Wilshire 5000. You can call it either one. We have the Wilshire 4500. And what did Wilshire do? Wilshire is a company based in Los Angeles. They said, look, let's take the 5,000 stocks, biggest stocks in the United States, give or take, a few big companies, medium-sized companies, little companies, and the top 500 are the companies in the S&P 500. Pull them out. Pull them out, and we have the Wilshire 4,500, right? Well, Dow Jones said, well, Dow Jones, Wilshire 4,500, and then they kicked Wilshire to the side, and they called Dow Jones U.S. Completion Total Stock Market Index. Now, isn't that catchy? Doesn't it just trip off your tongue?
Such a long name.
It's a stupid name. But that was the S fund. This is the S fund that you dealt with in Chapter 4, right? Some of you did it, some of you haven't done it. If you haven't done your assignments, turn them in. We want you to do them. We accept late assignments, even though the other professors tell me I'm a goofball for doing it. I don't care. I want you to do it. So these two, you'll see many index funds that are representative of these. Now, most of these index funds do not have 5,000 or 4,500 stocks in them. They just randomly choose some of the stocks, because it would just be ridiculous to have all of them. But they might have, you know, 1,200. They might have 800. Questions, thoughts? So these two we want you to remember. And if you remember Wilshire 5,000, 4,500, that's fine. But you have to be able to at least identify U.S. total stock market index and U.S. completion total stock market index. And this one's cute. They created this internet index, I think, in 1999, right before the internet bubble went bust, and it lost 96% of its value. So if you bought that index fund, put $10,000 in, you wound up with $400. How's that?
That's terrible, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, okay. Now, finally, the one that is mostly considered to be the best measure, although it's still imperfect, of the United States stock market is the S&P 500, Standard & Poor's 500. We've been discussing the Standard & Poor's 500 all semester long, right? We've mentioned it over and over and over again, and that's part of the problem with putting mutual funds before stocks. You know, you don't say we should do stocks before mutual funds, but hey, I think mutual funds are more important because most of us are going to be investing in them. And a bunch of you, I hope you're going to be investing in stocks eventually, but do it through mutual funds, great. It traditionally was the largest 500 companies based in the United States. Again, it is market-weighted. And why do we say traditionally? Well, now some of the companies are foreign. Why? Because some of the companies have been purchased, some of our largest companies, purchased by foreign companies. You ever go to Arco? Yeah? Who owns Arco? Do you know?
Oh, Arco.
What? OXO. Yeah, eventually OXO. No, British Petroleum. BP. And on the right coast, on the east coast, you don't see Arco's. Atlantic Richfield is what it stood for. You see BP stations. And they're British Petroleum stations. And then they also bought Amoco, which was based in Ohio. And so it's such a, you know, these are huge companies in the United States, and now we have an external company, an international company, a foreign company buying them. So the S&P says, okay, let's let them in. And I don't know if some of you knew this, but back in 97, I think it was, or 96, Daimler-Benz, Mercedes-Benz, bought Chrysler. One of, you know, the big three. Mercedes-Benz bought them. They changed the name of the company to Daimler Chrysler. And in Germany, how did they pronounce Daimler Chrysler? Daimler. The Chrysler was silent. They bought them for $36 billion, and 10 years later, they sold them for $7 billion. Not the best investment. And now who owns Chrysler now?
No idea.
Fiat. Fix it again, Tony. So Fiat and Chrysler, I don't know if they own it. They own each other, basically. And now they're trying to buy Renault, I think. Trying to buy Renault. Who's Renault? Renault. It's a French company. You can get them in Renault. Yeah. You can buy them. You can, what?
You
got
to make the T sound.
Renault. No, you don't. The Renault is not, you know, is the Renault?
Is there a T there?
There's a T at the end, but I don't think you make it.
Yeah, you don't pronounce it.
The T is silent. You can buy them in TJ. Renault's, have you seen them? Renault's? No, don't bother. Don't bother, okay. Because the S&P 500 is market weighted, how are we doing for time? Not bad. It was affected by the tech bubble of the late 1990s in a bizarre manner. The market values of a small percentage of technology companies were inflated to extremes. This skewed the index even more toward those companies. Consequently, in 1998, 10% of the gain in the S&P 500 was due to one stock. The 10% of a gain of 500 stocks were due to one company. So this is what's going on now, in my humble opinion. That's why I gave you the extra bonus assignment in Chapter 4, because you're seeing a few companies that now make up a tremendous amount of the index, and they're also making up a very large part of the gains of the index. Can you name any of these companies?
Apple.
Apple's one of them?
Tesla?
No, Tesla's not one of them yet.
Not?
Tesla's pretty small compared to these giants. Amazon. And Google. And Farsbook. I'm sorry. Facebook. Facebook, yeah. Okay, so now, you don't have to know any of these, but Standard & Poor's has dozens industrial, 400, mid-cap, 400, small cap, 600. You add the 500, the mid-cap, 400, and the small cap, you get the 5-1500 index. They've got transportation, utilities, financials, many other global, international sectors indices, and you can buy index funds for all of these indices. So Standard & Poor's is a company that does research, and they're making these lists of stocks, and the mutual funds, the index funds, are buying those stocks, and they're not doing any research whatsoever. You understand that, right?
Yes, sir.
And what should you get, or what should you not get when you get an index fund? High fees. You should get very, very low fees. If somebody in your 401k is trying to sneak in high fee indices, you're the ringer. You're going to call them out and make them look like imbeciles. Now, the New York Stock Exchange has its own composite index. The Amex has its own composite index. You won't see these reported that often, but you will see the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ composite index, and why is that? Because the NASDAQ is dominated by technology companies, although all of them aren't. Starbucks. Is Starbucks a technology company?
No, sir.
But Amazon, Google, Facebook, Apple, Microsoft, these are all in the NASDAQ. So when people look at the NASDAQ, they look to see how the tech sector is doing. And this is what happened in the late 90s with the internet bubble. It went from 800 in 1995 to 5,000 in 2000. Think about that. The stock market went in two directions, up and way up, and then it dropped to 1,200 two and a half years later, 80% down. So, yes. What? Volatility. I'll never forget. I always say this, but one of the students online, the volatility is real. You're right, sweet. Yes, it is. Now, we talked about the U.S. Total Stock Market Index. Very important because you're going to see lots of index funds that match it. But Standard & Poor's has their own, and MSCI has their own. Who's MSCI? Morgan Stanley Capital International. You don't have to remember that, but you're going to see MSCI. So you have to know that it's one of the companies that are making these lists. And then we talked about the Wilshire 4500. Standard & Poor's has their own completion index. I'm not sure if MSCI does. So these are already up there already. Now, the Russell 2000. The Russell 2000, although there are many others, is the one that people go to, Frank Russell Associates. This is the one that people go to, it was the first one out there, for the medium and small companies. How are the medium and small companies doing? Take a look at the Russell 2000. What did they do? They took the top 3,000 companies by size, and then they pulled out the top 1,000. So you start at 1,001 down to 3,000. And that meant, let's take a look at the medium-sized companies and small companies. So that's another one that we'll want you to remember. It's on the handout, so don't worry about it. And then MSCI, Morgan Stanley Capital International. You don't have to remember that. I remember it because I know about this company. But they created two indices that became very popular, the World and the IFA. Now, don't ask me why it's pronounced IFA. That's what it's pronounced. But what happened is one of the mutual fund companies, American Funds, which really is Capital, they're changing their name now to Capital, even though they've always been Capital. Figure that one out. They've always been Capital, but they never called themselves. They never trumpeted their name. And so remember the Investment Company of America, the one we looked at? That's one of their mutual funds. They have the Income Fund of America and the Growth Fund of America and the American Balance Fund. So people started calling them the American Funds. And they went, we're Capital. But they never really pushed that name, so the name stuck. And now they want to go global. They're based in LA, but they're all over the world. And so it's cute. You know, it's kind of an interesting case study. They want to go global, so what do? We don't want to be called American Funds in places that aren't really happy with America. So they're changing their name back to what it always was, Capital. They were one of the first, not the only ones, T. Rowe Price, Templeton, which is now part of Franklin, to start investing globally. But there weren't any benchmarks for global stock markets. So they created their own benchmarks, the World and the IFA. then they realized, you know what? This isn't smart. We're creating the benchmark that we're measuring ourselves against. That doesn't look good. You see the conflict of interest here? So they sold it to Morgan Stanley, but Morgan Stanley kept the name Capital International. So what's the world? That's the global one. And the IFA was Europe, Australia, and the Far East. So that was international. So they created a global index and an international index to measure how well the global market is doing and the world outside the United States. Well, the problem with these is that they started just the developed world. The world and the IFA only had the United States, Canada, Western Europe, Singapore, Hong Kong, Japan, Australia, South Africa, and a few of the more developed economies. Well, we know what the world has done over the last 30 years. We've seen the developing world getting more and more developed. And there's an interesting story about that. And so instead of just changing the world and changing the IFA, they now have two new ones, the MSCI All Country World Index and the MSCI All Country World Index ex-USA, which include the developed and the... Now, aren't these developed and the developing world, aren't these great names? Don't they just trip off your tongue perfect? You just have to be able to identify them. If you remember world and IFA, that's great. But then if you remember all country world ex-USA, that's even better. So now turn to page. If you don't have one, you're going to have to turn to page 3. You're going to have to get with your buddy. I'll make some more copies. I made a lot of copies of these. I gave them out. That's why you want to get a 3-ring binder. Got 3-ring holes. Okay, so we've learned about the different markets: New York Stock Exchange, Amex. We'll watch. Get with her. Okay, get close. Okay. And we've learned about the New York Stock Exchange, the Amex, and the Nasdaq, and the bulletin boards and the pink sheets. Where do you think? So we're doing worksheet number 1. Where do you think McDonald's would go? What if we're going back, or sorry, taking it back here, we should have done this before. The New York Stock Exchange, the Amex, which is now the New York Stock Exchange American, the NASDAQ, these are the big two, this guy and this guy, or the OTC, bulletin boards, and pink sheets. Where do you think McDonald's would go? Been around since the 40s, 50s, 60s. Big company. You ever heard of McDonald's? What? They're nasty. The food's nasty, yeah. But they would say, we're not nasty, we're people. We're humans too, you know. Even though we sell junk, garbage. It's really good for your veins. Hardens those veins. You want hard veins. Come on, talk to me. Where do you think? You don't have to be right. You're not being
Dow.
The Dow. Well, they're in the Dow. They're in the Dow. But which
New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah, they're in the big board. They're in the New York Stock Exchange. Now, if you're not sure, or even if you are sure, what should you do?
Look it up.
Look it up. Yeah. Type in McDonald's, and you'll find it's McD, M-M-C-D. That's what they call Mickey D's. That's the symbol. And it'll say, oh, New York Stock Exchange. How about Qualcomm? It's supposed to be all uppercase, and I can't stand writing it that way. Who is Qualcomm? Was it a stadium? Yeah, technology. Right, NASDAQ. That's where you'd expect them to be. You better be sure, but yeah, you'd expect them to be on NASDAQ, and they are. Now, what about the Spider ETF? What the hell is that? That's the exchange-traded fund that, it's not the only one, that mimics the Standard & Poor's 500. Where is that sold and bought? Everywhere. Everywhere. But what we often do with the ETFs is we give them to the Amex, because that's where they started. In 1992, 93, Amex, they knew it. They saw the writing on the wall. They're tiny, right? New York Stock Exchange is huge, and now the NASDAQ is getting huge. And they're so they started diversifying, and they started selling the ETFs on the Amex. But now you can get them anywhere, and you don't care. You just put in the order, and your brokerage firm routes it to wherever they route it to. But we'll put Amex just for New York Stock Exchange American, just to be nice to them. But you can put any. You can just put any. Okay, now Coca-Cola.
New York Stock Exchange.
Now you're going to let him have all the fun? Where would you expect Coke to be? They've been around since 1887 or something like that? Yeah, New York Stock Exchange. Right, that's the big board. They pay good dividends. Yeah, well, it's probably better after yesterday. And what about Butterfly.com? You heard of them, didn't you?
They make
blue steam. It's really, really going to be better than the left-handed smoke shifter that they made last year. It didn't work out too well. Pink sheets, right. You're going to let him do all that, right? Yeah. These are the kind of companies you'll find on the pink sheets, on the bulletin boards, the OTC markets, that are not real companies. They're just scams that are trying to get you to buy, they just like to take your money. Now, what about Nokia?
Over the camera.
No, the phone, no. Right?
What?
Nokia.
Yeah.
Is that like the old
phone? Yeah, old phone company. You heard of Nokia. They used to be the world's largest. Yeah, she looked it up. They're still around. Yeah, they're still around.
And they
used to be. Where are they based, by the way? Where is
they're
Nokia
based?
Based
in Finland.
Finland. If you can believe it. Yeah, Finland. They're based in Finland. And they used to be the world's largest cell phone maker. And now that's, who's the title for that one? It's not Apple. It's close.
Samsung
makes more money when Apple sells one of their phones, because they got a lot of components from Samsung in the Apple phone. And because Apple charges a whole lot more, Samsung makes more money off the Apples than they do off their own phones. Figure that one out. Okay, cool. Now, as Imani saw, Nokia, you think, technology company. NASDAQ, no, you look them up, they're actually on New York Stock Exchange. So you have to be, you can sort of spitball it, but then to be sure, look it up. Okay, so now, take about 30 seconds or so and do the matching. Match the market average, the market index, with the name of the market index. Okay, take about a minute. Take your time, but hurry a little. You're not being tested. You will be tested. You will not have to know these. Okay, we don't know.
I grabbed the wrong one.
Okay, so you do have one, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
I remember I was the one that got it.
Okay, so you want to get with him? I'll make a few more copies and bring them on Thursday. If I remember.
Hey, Frank, how's your weekend?
Oh, no, I'm still in a lot of pain. I can't sit down.
Really?
I cannot sit down at the computer. I have to stand.
Okay, lying down.
No, that's even worse. Lying down. I can't sleep at night.
What's wrong with your stomach?
I tried. I wish I were a stomach is the best. Actually, a couple of nights I kneeled in front of the bed, put a bunch of pillows on the bed, put my stomach on the bed, and then leaned over and held myself up. And that's how I fell asleep.
What did your wife say?
What?
Why?
Well, she's very supportive. So what can she say? She took me to the chiropractors yesterday.
And what happened?
And I'm going to the acupuncturist today. I already got x-rays. And the x-rays, the chiropractor was funny. He goes, okay, you go to your doctor. They're going to give you muscle relaxers and painkillers, which they did. And they'll send you for an x-ray. The x-ray won't show anything. They'll say, well, okay, let's try some physical therapy. And if that doesn't work, we'll give you an MRI. And then we won't do anything. Because it's not serious enough to do a back surgery. So it's going to be 3-4 weeks of misery. And that's what it is. You can't sleep. That's the hardest part. I can get to sleep, and then about 2 hours later, I wake up, and I cannot get in any position. I literally have to get up and walk around and stretch out, and then I can lay back down again and maybe get to sleep. I have, but I can't stand it. If it gets really bad, I'll take the painkillers and the muscle. If it gets really bad, but I hate taking those things. It make me... I can see how people like them, though, because you get this...
How about the snake oil of the century?
Snake oil. That might work. Okay, we done? You done? Okay, so let's now put that up on the screen. I should have done that. Instead of talking about myself, I should have put this on the screen. Worksheet number one. Okay. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Okay, so what is the market index designed to gauge the total U.S. stock market? What's the stock market? Somebody besides.
Mama, man.
You let somebody else have a good time. What's the market index designed to gauge the total U.S. stock market? Right. It used to be called the Wilshire 5000. Where is it? Down there. Used to be called the Wilshire 5000, but now they call it the Dow Jones U.S. Total Stock Market Index.
Are you going to have both names on the test?
What?
Are you going to have both names on the test?
Yeah, I have both names on the test, yeah. Stock market average made up of 30 high-quality stocks selected for total market value and broad public ownership and believed to reflect overall United States stock market activity, although it doesn't. It's the most popular. That's the Dow Jones Industrial Average. What's the market index designed to measure the stock markets of the world, excluding the U.S.?
It's the MSCI.
EAFE. Although it's being replaced by the MSCI All Country World Index, EXUSA. What's the one market index often used as a measure of the strength or weaknesses of the medium-sized and small-sized companies based in the U.S.? It's the Russell 2000. Traditionally, the 500 largest companies based in the U.S., although now some may be foreign, most are based in the U.S., are chosen for their market size, liquidity, and industry group representation. That's the Standard & Poor's 500. Everyone should say Standard & Poor's 500. What is it?
Standard & Poor's 500.
I know you might think I'm crazy, maybe right, but when you say it, you actually learn better. And then what's the one mostly high-tech companies? That's the NASDAQ Composite. Designed to measure the global stock market, including the U.S.?
MSCI.
World Index being replaced by the All Country World Index. And then the one designed to measure the total U.S. stock market, excluding the 500 largest companies. Very popular with many index funds. Completion, or call it the Wilshire 4500. Okay, cool. Okay, so memorize those, folks. You've got to know those. There are dozens of others, but you don't have to know those. You just have to know these eight. Okay, now, you hear on the news report in the evening, the Dow and the S&P each lost 2%, but the NASDAQ gained 1%. The Russell 2000 was flat. What can you deduce from this report? Stocks were mostly unchanged? No, a 2% drop is a pretty big drop. Large company stocks gained? High-tech prices declined. Small companies are mostly unchanged. Large company stocks lost ground. High-tech companies rose. Small company stocks were mostly unchanged. C.
Yes.
And does it say anything about foreign stocks? Do any of these have anything to do with foreign stocks? No. No. So none of these have. So just make sure you know these. Cool?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Okay, good, 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 good. Now, what you're going to see on the news every day is some graph that looks like this, or on the infernal net, or whatever you look. Oh, the stock market rocketed up by 12 p.m., not 12 a.m. 12 p.m., we were at our height, and then all of a sudden, crashed down to the depths of degradation, and then came back to basically where it started. Yes?
It actually happened this morning. 800 points.
Reap, yeah.
And right now it's about like 37 points.
There's a wonderful book called How to Lie with Statistics. And it's the numbers are all wrong, you know, it's very old. But the concepts are still valid. What are they showing you? What are they showing you? Just a tiny little portion of the index. In this case, this is the Dow Jones. This is the average. Tiny little portion. So they call it stock market index mania. Look at today's unstable stock market. What if they showed you the real graph? This is what it would look like. Now, are you going to see this on the news?
Hell no.
No, that's because it doesn't look like anything, does it? Right. So this is stock market index ennui. You know what ennui is? It's a French word. It's in the United States. It's an English word too. Ennui.
Ennui.
Ennui. It means beyond boredom. Ennui. Yeah, anyway. And so we come back to the volatility. We saw the volatility of the Standard & Poor's 500 in 2019. But we only showed you from here to here. It looks drastically more when you show just that part that's on the graph. But if you show the zero axis, you show the whole thing, is it that big a deal? Mm-hmm. And that's what we hope you'll see, that drops of 5%, 10%, what the hell? They happen. Drop of 50%, it's not fun, but it's a good thing because you're going to buy more, right? And if you're young, you don't care if you got 5, 10 years. And the one cool thing, we're going to come back to Sir John Templeton. We made a quote from him today, but he had a great quote. Don't bet on the end of the world. You can't collect. If the world does end, it doesn't matter where your money is, right? We'll be all digging for beetle grubs and boiling bark for dinner. Cool? Okay, now let's talk about the coronavirus.
Yay!
There is a chance that the campus might close. In which case, dear students, this class continues. It's all online. I sent you that email, right? I don't know if you got it. If you're not checking your Southwestern College email, please do. Better yet, go into Canvas. And there's tremendous resources, folks, tremendous resources to teach you about Canvas. So don't, you know, if you can do your banking online or Robinhood online, you can figure out Canvas. Enter your regular general public email that you use, your personal email, and Canvas will send it not only to Southwestern's email, but to your email. And you can even enter your cell phone number, and they'll send you a text when you get communications, This assignment's due, these modules were created, this grade has been done. And what I do online is I literally give audio feedback to the, because, you can't, I talk to you about the assignments in person, but you can't do that to the online students. So I'll give you the audio feedback too. I don't use visual, you don't want to see me, especially when I'm in there. It's not a pretty sight, but I do audio. A couple of the analysts said, why don't you do visual? I said, you don't want to see. And so what we're going to do today, what should we do? Should we go through all this? I was going to ask you you're going to make your assignment for Thursday to go do the presentation. Which presentation would it be? 61 to 74. So... because we're going to do types of stocks. We have enough time to do, we don't have enough time to do stocks. But so if you go to my website or if you go on Canvas, we've done up to slide 60. See, we've done up to slide 60. And I showed you before, you can listen to it.
Welcome back, dear students.
Right? You can watch it on Wonder Professor.
Welcome back, dear students.
And what some people say is they like to
common stock characteristics.
Speed it up.
Emphasis on dividends.
They like to speed it up because then it's not as boring. I mean, they get more time management. But the same thing is true. You can't do that on iTunes. You can't speed it up on iTunes. You can speed it up on YouTube. So you can speed it up, Wonder Professor. iTunes, you can't speed it up. And iTunes, you can't link to the individual presentations. You can only go to the home page and then you have to scroll down. And then 3C Media Solutions is our closed caption available. But all of a sudden, they've run out of money. Now they're not doing closed caption. I mean, it's still on here, but you'll see that the first one, and then they ran out of money. And they say to us, sorry, we don't have any more money. They got a grant from the state to do the closed captioning. Because believe it or not, if we don't have closed captioning, a student can sue the college and sue the professor. We're not accommodating disabilities. And I said, look, you know, if we have a student, doesn't it make more sense? If we have a student that has it, they can ask for it? No. They do not have to ask for it. And if you don't have it, we can sue you. And I thought, all right, you know, that's what you want. But I ain't doing it. If you're going to make me do it, I'm retiring on the spot. I am leaving on the spot because it's tedious. Have you ever tried it, to make closed captioning? What they do is they have their... YouTube has its own closed captioning. It's not very good. You can use YouTube's, but then you can go in and actually edit it. But it's like voice character recognition. It doesn't do a very good job. 3C Media Solutions, they're excellent. I don't know if they have, you know, better algorithm than YouTube, but it's hard to believe that's Google. But they turn around 2 days, 3 days at the most. We now are using another system, and I turned it in 2 weeks ago, and it ain't done yet. And when I asked another professor, they said, oh, it won't be done until summer. I said, great. Great. Isn't that just peachy? And so I don't know what's going to happen. If you want to sue Southwestern College, here's your chance.
Awesome. Free money.
Yeah, right. Free money. They're going to put you through the ringer. So my apologies. But I'm going to sign to you, and I know you're all going to do it, right? Nod your head yes.
Yes, sir.
Slide 61 through 74. This presentation, stock characteristics and measurements. And then we'll do, when we come back on Thursday, we'll do worksheet number 2.
Awesome. Right?
Because this is worksheet number 2. And then what we could do today, we can't have much time to do it. We don't have any time to do it next week. But let's... let's just zip through here, and so the next from 74 is we do some stock characteristics, stock splits, treasury stocks, common classifications of stocks, something about dividends. Dividends are very important.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Dividend yield, ex dividend, don't buy the dividend, cash dividend, stock dividends. So this stuff is very important. But we're just going to have to get you guys using this because I don't know what's going to happen. I want you to at least try using it. Okay? So now, what do I do? I got 5 minutes. I don't want to waste. I just do not like to, you know, let you go early because I feel that I'm stealing. You know, you guys paid for this, and I just feel so horrible.
It's good.
So
that's good.
Then definitely on Thursday. We will go through the different types of stocks because this is part of your assignment. The Chapter 5 assignment asks you to find all that stuff, you know, a little fill in the boxes, and that's pretty straightforward. But the last column says, okay, what type of stock is this? And that's not that easy sometimes. Sometimes it's drop dead easy. It's very simple. Come on in. Sometimes it's very simple. Other times, some companies don't really fit in any category. They're their own type of company. And some companies might fit in one or two or three different categories. So we'll go through the categories on Thursday and hopefully, maybe not, but hopefully finish up Chapter 5 on Thursday. But if not, we'll, it's okay. We're more interested in learning it. So please, 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 please listen, watch. You can do it on your smell phone, on your computer. The presentation on slide 61, 74, stock characteristics, dividends, and PE ratio. Okay, who snuck in late? I got the marker. And Monty is here. Vincent is here. Lisa's here. Justice Brown here? No. Andrew Castro. Yeah. Hey, Dad. Daphne over there? Aaron's here. And Tamara Flores is here. And Sarah, no. Nancy Hernandez was here, wasn't she? No.
Nate came in. You have experience here. Melissa Leva, yes. Andres. Luis Marquez, no. Sergio Martinez. Xavier. Xavier. And Aaron Ramirez, yes. No. Isaac is here. David Reed, Oscar Ryan. And then Fabian. Okay, if you look at the information sheets, you'll see the expense ratio. It's very tiny. It's a lot smaller than these numbers.
Okay.
You'll see. It's very small.
Okay. Thank you.
Melissa.
Thank you.
Come here at 8 o'clock. 8:15. I'll get you a cup of coffee. Wait, yeah. How's that? Is that a deal?
Yes.
Come early. Make friends. Yes.
Frank, I have some blue jeans tomorrow.
What am I doing tomorrow? I'll be here.
We're doing it after school.
Today or tomorrow? Tomorrow. Well, I'll probably go right home. No, I'm going to the chiropractor tomorrow afternoon after school.
Okay.
I think 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock?
I can't remember.
I see.
Why? What do you got for
me? Well, you see, a special event's happening tomorrow, and I want to invite you.
Okay, what is it?
It's dinner. Italian restaurant. I'm not Italian restaurant. Italian meal.
Where?
At a church. It's for a good cause.
What time?
6.
No, I'm not coming back. Driving is so painful. I apologize. But I apologize. I'm not coming back down in the evening. No, actually, what happened?
Yeah.
Can
help?
Yeah, I need psychological help.